Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and John Osher.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Happy Wednesday to you, brought to you by Metro Rooter. We're live at Everbank. Johnny O will join me momentarily. I'm Mike Dempsey, Jaguars Today on the air, as the Jags will be in the air coming up in just a few hours here. Buses will depart Everbank, I believe, in about 2.5 hours, head over to JIA, and on they go to the nation's capital to take on the Washington Redskins and hopefully preserve their good health, at least the ones that are still in good fighting trim, to get ready for the start of the regular season. Now, creeping up on us, we're a week away from the NFL season kicking off next Thursday night. Maybe we'll have Tom Brady on the field. I would expect that he'll be on the field against the Pittsburgh Steelers, even if the hearing goes against him and the ruling in federal court goes against Tom Brady in the Deflategate deal. All accounts seem to indicate he will be able to appeal and maybe get some kind of a stay to get him on the field if that, in fact, goes against him. But it looks now like we may have to wait to the end of the week to find out. They are maybe hoping to get that done yesterday, but not the case. We're not going to worry about the Deflategate. They've got their own issues to worry about. We've got our own issues down here to worry about. Julius Thomas will have surgery today, tighten up that hand, hopes to be back by week four of the regular season, and we'll see. And we'll see if there's an impact on the Jags' offense. They look good without him in the preseason, but as much as the Jags are going out there pretty pedestrian and not game planning, defenses aren't game planning for them either. Will Clay Harbor and Mercedes Lewis be as effective as they've been in the preseason once the regular season rolls around? Time will tell on that one. And will Blake Bortles continue his stellar play? Can we all agree we don't need to see Blake out there tomorrow? Sounds like Gus Bradley, as you heard right there with Balls Davis's news update, isn't really pushing necessarily to have T.J. Yeldon out there in game four of the preseason. Gus said if he plays, it'll be very little. If that's the case, why are you playing him, right? Unless he feels like he needs it to get further acclimated to the speed of the game. I don't know what you could pick up if you throw him in there for a series or so, the final week of the preseason. Wouldn't you rather have that guy healthy and not have another potential injury to one of your offensive playmakers? You already have Julius Thomas out. We don't know what Marquise Lee's status is going to be in terms of how much they'll use him, even when he is active for games. They're going to ease him back into things. You're not going to see Marquise Lee jump right back into that starting lineup because they don't want to overtax him. They don't know how much that guy's body can handle. So you're already potentially missing those two guys to start things off. You don't want to put yourself further behind the eight ball with an injury to T.J. Yeldon. I'd say keep him out tomorrow. Toby Gerhart's already, nursing an injury. We'll see about his availability. But he has been so effective in the preseason in short yardage. I spoke with Dave Caldwell yesterday before the show, and I told him, I said, look, I'll be honest with you. I need to know for my fantasy football people what the division of labor is going to be in that backfield, but I think any Jaguar fan would find it interesting to see what they have in store for these guys, what plan they have in mind for the backfield. Denard Robinson, I think, has looked good in the preseason. I think most people would agree with that. Hasn't run through gaping holes all the time, but he's run harder, and he looks more, as we've all remarked, more like a running back. And it's the further away he gets from his college days, like, the easier it is to forget that he played a different position if you just watch him out on the football field. But yesterday I asked Dave Caldwell about that specifically, and he said, I said, going back to the draft, you told me 15 or 16 carries is kind of the goal for T.J. Yeldon per game this year, and that would work out to about 260 carries if he averaged 16, 256, in fact. But I said, is that still the plan? He said, he's our starter. This is according to Dave Caldwell yesterday. He's the guy. Denard Robinson will have a role as a change of pace, probably about 10 carries. And I said specifically, short yardage, is Toby Gerhart the guy, because he's been so effective running behind Tyson all while? He said, yes. I said, so at the goal line, just to be clear, who's coming in to vulture the touchdowns? And he said, Toby Gerhart is our short yardage guy, including at the goal line. There you go. That was smooth. Do you think that was smooth, how I just brought you up there on the board? I'm producing the show from this end and hosting at the same time.
It was impressive.
How are you?
I've learned something about you.
All dressed up for the road you are today.
Not sure I like it.
Huh?
Yeah,
your polo t-shirt?
Yeah, well, you don't want to, And you got a certain outfit you wear on the road, and you want to make sure that's crisp.
You're building up to it throughout the day.
Believe it or not, I have a reputation to protect.
Wheels up for you guys, what, around 2 o'clock-ish?
Yeah, bus leaves 12:15, wheels up at some point. Once you get on the bus, you're just kind of...
Doesn't matter. You're right. You're in the system.
You're not worried about time.
At that point in time.
You're just following the guy in front of you.
Your life is no longer your own. It's kind of...
I've been married for 25 years.
That's true. If they had had a scared straight Jaguars edition, would you have gotten into this line of business if you had known all the things that were going to come with it?
A scared straight Jaguars edition?
Yes, like they had said, all right, hey, young aspiring beat writer, here's what really happens. Here's how much you turn your life over to the organization. And once 12:15 comes, we own you for the next few days.
In all honesty... Absolutely, this place I would.
Yes. Yeah. The way it's run here now,
yeah.
I can't believe they're not beating down the doors to work here from around the National Football League.
Yeah,
for all we know, they are.
No doubt
about it. And Shad yesterday speaking out, and every time he opens his mouth, Jaguar fans get excited, and why wouldn't you? He's always got some new toy that he's bringing you. And, I mean, his toys cost $30 million, which is nice, and most of us can't afford that kind of thing. But he's talking about an indoor practice facility by next season, John.
And it's funny. I said this on Frank's show, who I know you're not a big Frank fan. But
Frank who?
but, you know, I was standing there yesterday and when Shad was talking, and there was some writers and TV people around listening to him, of course. And he sort of said the deal about the practice facility at first, and there was a lot of topics to be covered, so people were asking about different things. And then toward the end, he kind of came back and said, yeah, and this is not really going to be what you would think of as a normal practice facility or a normal indoor practice facility. And I kind of laughed and I was like, well, of course it's not.
Right. It's Shadville.
Did you really think like he was going to bring like, you know, things you take to the beach and you set up like those canopies?
Yes, right.
You really think it was
going to
be one of those?
Something inflatable, just, yeah.
Not, well,
turn the pump on like, you know, when you
have
company spending the night.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't going to be one of those little sheds that you pull like I hadn't even thought about it that much. And then when he said it, I was like, well, of course it's going to have bells and whistles. Of course it's
world's
be
largest practice facility, scoreboards, perhaps.
And it'll be – I mean, it won't just – it'll be impressive, but just like the video boards, just like everything else he's done, it'll be impressive with a functionality to it and a permanence to it that seems to be sort of the thread that runs through everything of, okay, this is impressive – and then once you sort of dig deeper into it, oh, this is about the long-term stability, infrastructure, if you will, the franchise and the area around it. So it's sort of in keeping with what he's done so far.
Are there still some paranoid doubters out there that think this is part of the long con? Is that right? Because, I mean, at what point do you have to add one more state-of-the-art piece of foundation to the infrastructure when you stop hearing that kind of and around here for the most part you don't hear it really.
Well, and I think that's what, as you look back, I mean, our jobs are about the day to day. A lot of times we get on the radio, we get on the website, and we talk about what just happened. But when you look at, since Shad took over the team, when he first took over the team, he was asked a lot about the stability in Jacksonville. It's an obvious question. It had been a rumor for a long time, and there were fans. I remember getting a lot of emails from fans, from people saying, why won't he just say, pound the table? And it's almost like they wanted a headline quote that they could send out on Twitter and say, this is what he said.
Sure.
Well, I think he knew that no matter what he said at that time, it was going to be a headline the next day. And then after that, it was going to get picked apart and questioned and not trusted. And all those things that happen with a headline quote like that, when people don't want to believe what's going on. So he always said, I'm committed to this, project, this initiative of making this franchise work in this area through his vision, which includes a game in London, which includes an international feel. But he sort of said, our actions will speak for what our intentions are, so to speak.
Right.
And the locker rooms, the video boards, the taking people from Jackson, you know, the higher ups of Jacksonville to London each year to make that a strong sponsorship, marriage, whatever you want to call it. And now this, it's, you know, the shipyards proposal, for goodness sake.
The game day amenities that made them voted the number one game day experience in the league.
How much more can the actions speak?
I don't know if they can, right. Really. I mean, other than, you know, what else could you do? Build a stadium in the shape of his mustache, maybe, here in Jacksonville, right. Something like that. I don't know what more.
So I think he knew from the beginning promises, words, vows, all those things would be great for that day. And you'd see the headline and the fans would get excited on Twitter. And then after that, you would think, the things that he's done are things that you look at and they're concrete and they show a clear commitment to making this thing work here. And that's what he's always said about the London thing. London helps strengthen the whole package, the whole concept of what they're doing. So, you know, as I said on Frank's show yesterday, in 3.5 years, everything adds up. Everything continues to back up what he talks about. I mean, everything continues to make sense and move in that direction. So, you know, it's been an amazing 3.5 years on that front.
I have to figure out who this Frank guy is because it sounds like a hell of a show.
Well, right? He thinks it is. So
it sounds good. You're making it sound good to me.
Yeah, the flaw, I mean, Martineau, you're familiar with it.
Say no more. Say no more. Understood. Say no more. All right. He is Johnny O. John Oger is here with us. I'm Mike Dempsey. It is John's getaway day, heading up to Washington with the team, and buses will roll out shortly after Jaguars today goes off the air. So we got John for the first hour today. If you'd like to get on board, 641-1010 is the way to do it on the phone lines. Also on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at 641-1010. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships question of the day we asked you. I feel like I have to include the qualifier other than Blake Bortles in almost every question I ask now because that's the answer that people give me, and with good reason. They're excited about it. But other than Blake Bortles, we ask folks, what has you the most excited about Jaguar football this year? What one player, one aspect of the team, the game day experience, just getting back to seeing your friends and tailgating, whatever it is, what has you the most excited about Jaguars football this year? You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at John Osier, and at 1010XL Tyler as well. And again, you got the phone numbers to Jaguars Today. Facebook page is open for business. We'll hear from Shad a little bit later on in the show today. Also hear a little bit from Josh Scobie, who appeared live this morning with Dan and Jeff on The Drill, talking about the experience of getting dealt to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and was very complimentary of the organization and particularly complimentary about the fan base and the support that he received, not only when they found out he was leaving, but all throughout his tenure here in 11 years as a Jacksonville Jaguar. So all that and more coming your way. Want to find out what's on your mind as the Jags head into the final preseason game. How much, if at all, should we see any of these key guys on the field tomorrow night? We'll discuss as we go along. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Jaguars Today, live from Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're all, I think, looking at and hoping that he would be back game one. It was, it was still a chance that he might not be able to be ready. You know, it's unfortunate, but he's, you know, it's not the whole season. It's not 8 games or anything like that. So it's, you know, something that's come up. I do feel fortunate that the offense for a couple games, 3 games now after this game, were without Julius and moved the ball and did some really good things. So that's a positive.
Gus Bradley talking about the absence of Julius Thomas to start the season. Looks like at least 3 games. They're hopeful to have him back by week 4, but not guaranteed to have him back by week 4. John, yesterday Dave Caldwell said that the decision to do things the way they did, because I figured that one of the most frequently asked questions would be, why didn't you just have the surgery right away?
Right.
He said, you know, it was a 90% chance they wouldn't have to cut on him.
Yep.
And anytime you don't have to cut a guy, you're going to try to, not everyone, it's probably the player's discretion if he wanted to say, hey, let's be more aggressive with this treatment to make sure I'm back earlier. But look, either way, they thought when they took that off, there's a 90% chance that tendon would tighten up, is the way he described it to me. And
the human
just didn't
body
do it.
Is not, I mean, you say it's not science, but it's not an exact thing. I mean,
mine is.
You have to, in that sense, you have to play the percentages. And people always want, was it this or was it this? You know, they want a black and white thing. In this case, 90% chance, you figure, okay, let's let this heal. Realistically, they probably lost a week or two, because even if they had even if their plan had worked, meaning let it rest and come back, pretty iffy for the opener, 50-50 for the week two, from what I'm hearing. May have been back for week 3, so you're maybe missing a week. So
yeah,
that's where they
I kind of heard the same thing. The opener probably was not going to happen anyway, but that was the timeline, kind of the impression that was left out there. Right. And here's the thing. They don't have to give you any injury info during the preseason.
Right, and it's the key. You know, I would think there's probably not much gain to letting opponents know exactly how hurt you are during the preseason because the rules say you don't have to.
Sure.
Meaning regular season opponents.
Right. So, obviously, you don't want the Carolina Panthers to have a clear gauge this early in the process because after Thursday, everyone is beginning preparations for their opening day opponent.
Right, and then you've got injury, during the regular season, just to clarify, during games, injury information must be released. During the week, there must be injury reports. During preseason, you don't have to do anything.
You don't have to say a word. So, you can just no comment it if you want to.
You know, and I've said it before, this franchise, Dave, Gus, are very forthcoming with most of the information. In this case, there wasn't really any reason to absolutely specifically say, yes, Julius Thomas will be X, Y, Z when he'd be back. So, long story short, they basically think maybe they're missing a week or two that they wouldn't have missed had it gone the other way.
And then the big question becomes, can Clay Harbor and Mercedes Lewis continue what they've shown us through three preseason games, which for the most part has been very positive. You know, Harbor had that big drop, but, you know, Tony and I have talked about this, that when you're a good team and you have a play like that and you come back and you answer, you forget about that.
You know,
good quarterbacks throw interceptions, but when they win it in the fourth quarter, you kind of wash away what happened the previous 58 minutes if you pull it out.
That's the X factor of having, and I capitalize both of these words, a guy.
Right.
A quarterback. Because, and I don't know if Bortles is that yet. Preseason doesn't make you a guy. But the things that brings you, we saw the other night against Detroit. Meaning, you know, 3rd and 11, I think it was, on the first drive. Had sort of hiccuped and stuttered on that first series, meaning the first couple of plays, and 3rd and 11, all of a sudden he turns that, I think it was 11 with the scramble. It was an 11-yard, early when he had the scramble.
Sure.
He overcame a couple of plays that had not been great to start. Did the same thing on the Allen Hurns play. Well, the offense wasn't exactly rolling on that first drive. They were getting third downs and keeping the chains moving. And then you get into a rhythm. That's what that franchise guy does. When you can pick up those kind of third downs, make that play, it makes everything else, it covers up so many warts, if you will.
Look, you can have plenty of franchise guys that can't make that play because they just don't have the athleticism to run for that play. There's one weapon in Blake's arsenal that he does possess. This is Gus yesterday talking about T.J. Yeldon when asked about what playing time, if any, he would get against Washington.
Yeah, I think there's two thoughts on that. You know, I've had conversations with him. I think that the first game was good for him. He would say that it helped him as far as the speed of the game and, you know, getting some carries and get hit a couple times. So it's something that we'll evaluate, how much he'll play. It'll be, if any, be limited, if any.
Sit him down, sit him
right,
all
if
down.
Any, doesn't sound like he's...
No, I'm not saying Gus is saying sit him down.
I'm saying sit him down. I'm with you. I don't see, especially if you're saying if any... It would be very limited. What's the point of throwing them out there for a series?
And I'm not going to say this team, you know, we've been so positive, especially about the offense the last couple of weeks, that there may be people thinking, oh, these guys think this team is a 35-point-a-game offense. I don't know what the offense is going to look like once the regular season starts. I don't really expect it to have 8 of 11 drives coming out of the box that are as impressive as they've had so far. I don't think playing a series and a half or two series on Thursday is going to change that, so I don't think it's worth the risk.
I agree with you, right? I mean, you're already without Julius Thomas. You don't know what your contribution will be from Marquise Lee.
If I thought they were going to get a lot better on Thursday by playing three series, I'd say play him.
And, yeah, nobody wants to see Blake in there. I don't think anybody wants to see much of anybody in terms of starters play. Now, you may have a couple go, but...
If that first team plays, think about it. You're going to be watching it interesting... But then all you're really going to be doing is going, stay up.
Right. Right. Up. And okay, you made a big play against Bob the Garbage Man, right? The guy who's got, I mean, the old perennial, he's going to be sweeping the streets next week kind of thing. A lot of these guys are going to be out of work.
What you want to see is when that kickoff happens and when they tune into the broadcast, they're going to span over and you want to see a bunch of guys in hats.
All right, let's find out what's got Jaguar fans excited today. 6-4-1-10-10. I'm excited about Johnny O being here with us. What's that, Tyler? Give me that one more time. Oh, okay. Rich was on the line. He just fell off. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010 is the way to do that. The question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Other than Blake Bortles, what has he got? What has gotten you most excited as the Jags get ready to embark on their season opener about a week and a half away from right now?
What's leading?
Well, I don't know. I can't read. I'm not without Tony here. I can't filter my Twitter and my thoughts at the same time. So I'll tell
you
when we get to the break.
He's your big toe. He's your rudder.
He is my big toe. That's funny that you say that. I had a producer at Sirius break his pinky toe and claim the doctor said he had to be out a week with his broken pinky toe.
A pinky toe, it's a big balance issue, I guess.
I'm sure it is. is it going to get any worse over the course of the week once you you wrap that bad boy up?
I'm not sure from your perspective. Do you want a guy in there with no pinky toe?
He's got a pinky toe.
Oh, he's got, okay.
It's just broken.
Okay, well.
He's got, maybe has three pinky toes. One of them split in two.
Yeah,
right
then
now.
You're having to worry about.
I'm not worrying about him.
Is he upright?
No, not worried about him. not in the least bit am I worried about that. Right now, you have Brian Walters as your number five wide receiver, and I think it would take something pretty special from Tony Washington. And maybe more so, I think Walters would have to fall flat tomorrow night to lose that spot.
Yeah, and I don't even know if – I guess that could do it. If the coaches feel about Walters like you would think they would, which is all Gus has talked about is his reliability, the trust in him, then I don't know if one game even shifts that. I mean, it's great for us to talk about storylines, guys winning jobs in this final preseason game, and it does matter in terms of evaluation. It matters in terms of the big picture. But, if they really like this guy and he has a couple of plays that are, sort of brain fades on Thursday, are you really flying back on that plane going, boy, I did a 180 on this? Or is it like the draft where you just trust the body of work and you don't make huge changes based on a couple of things at the end?
Whose jobs are on the line? Is it a one-game playoff for Austin Pastor versus Sam Young?
My inclination is they probably keep Pastor because I believe Young, if he's on the active roster to start the season, it is a huge money thing because you have to guarantee him. So wouldn't surprise you to see a Sam Young back over the long haul, but there are decisions to be made on backups like that. Do you keep vested veterans on for the whole season? So there's things like that, but I would guess that probably three or four spots at the end. Armbrister, my guess is he's on with the release of Kari Fort. So realistically, a lot of them are probably decided.
What about Nick Marshall?
I was going to mention him because he hasn't – Gus even said it yesterday. He hasn't performed in games like they feel like his potential will allow him to perform eventually. And as Gus said yesterday, that's really not a huge shock. He hasn't played cornerback in a long time. And Gus said, I can't sit here and say he's played great. It wouldn't be right. But he's shown enough that it's hard to imagine him not being a part of this going forward. I think the question they may have is, can you get him on the practice squad or is there too much talent there to
sneak him through? Kind of.
At the same time, you may be able to get him on the practice squad because a team has to look at it and say, okay, if I'm signing this guy, I have to have him active for three games. What can he do for me now to make that worth it? So that's sort of the gamble. It's sort of the poker game of that sort of move, if you will.
All right, let's go back to the phones now. 641-1010. We got Tim on board, going to lead things off here on Jaguars today. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, fellas, for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
Hey, I know the young man's worked hard, came out as a quarterback from Michigan, but I'm excited about Denard Robinson. Now he's got T.J. Yeldon, the rookie, coming in, and Toby Gerhardt's looking good. But Denard always works hard, and he's worked hard the last couple off season, and hope he does good things this year.
He's looked very exciting. He looks at John, and I know this is becoming cliche almost to say it now, but I'll do it anyway. You forget that he was something else. When you watch him play, if you're not thinking about it, he just looks more natural. You say, hey, you know what? He may not be the best running back, but he certainly looks like a running back, and he has played hard. He's run hard. He does bring that speed that very few of the guys on the offensive side have.
Well, a few thoughts on him. First of all, some credit to Dave Caldwell, who, from the word go, even when he was in Atlanta, loved Denard Robinson of Michigan. And that's a story everybody sort of knows by now. But just thought, with this kid's talent, you want him on your roster somewhere, and you'll figure out a way for him to contribute. And credit to Denard, who had a really, really tough rookie season and has sort of taken it upon himself to do the work and turn himself into something that can contribute. And by something, I mean a position that can contribute in the NFL. And now I think for the first time you might see this year, the offensive weapon thing as a rookie was tough on him. All of a sudden, you expected him to be this guy who would come in and do five different things. Well, the other night on that screen pass, against Detroit that went down the right sideline, mm-hmm. he looked like an offensive weapon.
Yeah.
Meaning, if you get this guy the ball and you've got a plan on offense on how to use him, it's not far-fetched. You know, if he has to start at running back a couple of games, not far-fetched to think he can run for 80, 90 yards and have a big play. If he's doing spot duty, not far-fetched to think that he could have long receptions, things that change the course of a game, might have more impact this year not starting than he did last season starting, just because he's a guy who anytime he touches the ball can go all the way.
And when you say not starting, there is still a school of thought out there in the Twitter sphere that Denard Robinson may be the starting running back on this football team. And I asked Dave Caldwell about this yesterday, and he said, TJ's the guy.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And that Denard will be a change of pace guy. He will have a role.
Right.
TJ may have 15 carries. Denard may have 10.
Right.
So it's not an 80-20 split
right.
here, but they envision, and that's why they brought him in. People look at Denard, wow, Denard's this, Denard's that. Well,
yes.
Denard was good last year, but he still ran for less than 600 yards, right?
He was good for a very short burst, which was impressive.
He had about a month.
Yeah, but they brought T.J. Yeldon in to be the running back, to be the guy, to be the bell cow back, if you will. And in order for him to do that, at some point you want him being the guy who's in for a couple of series in a row, then you have Denard in. He's in for a couple of series in a row. You want him being the main force on offense as a running back. And put him in there, let's see how it goes. I had thought during the preseason at times that you might see a scenario early on, first couple of games, where you start Denard, and then TJ's actually the guy who winds up getting most of the series, most of the carries, and I don't know about carries, but most of the series where he's in there until you get to the goal line. Sounds like it'll be reversed because they started him last week.
Right.
So it sounds like TJ's going to be the guy from the start. But sometimes people get so wrapped up in who's starting, and they forget that really in the NFL, you've probably got about 30, 32 starters, meaning role. You know, whoever goes out there with the first team, that's great. Denard Robinson's going to have a role. My guess is that we're talking to him after games. He's going to have impact. We're going to be talking about him in here on Mondays. Even if he doesn't start, I think they're going to have a role for him that matters a lot in this offense.
All right, let's go back to the line, 641-1010. Joey, you're up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I appreciate y'all having me on, for one, but I just have a couple of questions. One, what he was just talking about, I believe, you know, back when we started out with Tom Coughlin, I think the 1-2 punch with C.J. Spiller, Bernard Robinson, and even Gerhardt, all three of them, they're going to make a big difference.
You just went C.J. Spiller, who doesn't play for this team,
Bernard Robinson,
who doesn't play for this team, and Gerhardt. You got one out of three.
I'm talking about Robinson that played for Michigan.
Yes, Denard Robinson, T.J. Yeah. Yeldon, and Toby Gerhardt.
Yeah.
Let's know who we're talking about. All right.
Okay,
well,
what are your questions?
Anyway, do you think they might have made a big mistake getting rid of Scobie? I mean, you know, he was money. And I went to the Detroit game, and I seen their kicker today, the other kicker, and he wasn't bad. But, you know, the last 4 years, a lot of our games have been tight, and Scobie was money. Do you think maybe they made a mistake doing that?
The last few years, a lot of these games have been blowouts, actually, right. From my vantage point. They could have. Look,
sure.
Could they have made a mistake? Absolutely. And I even said, were it me, I probably would have erred on the side of going with the guy who's been there, done that. But let's be clear, Josh Scobie did not have a good year last year by his standards. Mm-hmm. It was a downturn. Now, is that a trend? I don't know if that's the case, but they just think Meyer's the better guy, I think, at this point. I don't think there's any big, you know, we had to save a few extra dollars. They have plenty of cap space. Right. They have plenty of money. It's not that.
It's all, I mean, if you're in the GM seat, you're always happier when your move saves you money and cap space. That's always a positive thing. But this decision was not made because of that. If they thought that Scobie was a better kicker right now, gave him a better chance to win, they would not have made this move.
Yeah, I do I think they made a big mistake? I don't think they did, but I grant the possibility exists that it turns out to be a mistake.
Okay. If he gets out there and can't kick under pressure,
sure.
Then it's
mistake. Right. And that's one of those you'd like to say, pound the table, I know for sure. People do that all the time. I have people on Twitter saying, you can't tell me Meyers is better than Scobie. You can't tell me that he's not.
Right.
You haven't seen Meyers. You don't know. You're not out at every practice like these guys are. Yesterday, Dave Caldwell said, we get to the 45, we're in scoring range.
Yep.
We are in scoring range at the 45-yard line. That's a 63, 64-yard field goal.
I watched it quite a bit.
63.
There was nothing to indicate that this guy is not going to be really, really good. Now, after he hit the scrimmage kicks, they got everybody excited. He had a day where he missed a couple. But beyond that, he has been really impressive. I didn't think they'd cut Josh. I mean, not cut, but I didn't think they'd trade
Josh.
Move
on from him, right.
But it's not a shock that they did, because this kid looks like he's going to be a really good kicker for a long time.
All right, more of your calls straight ahead at 641-1010. Also, keep them coming on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at the same number. With John Osier, I'm Mike Dempsey, live at Everbank on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Hey, glad to be with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. For all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial, septic systems, heck, restaurant, grease trap service, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing and you've got an issue, Metro Rooter's got the solution for you. Same day service, weekends included, the right people with the right equipment. That's why Metro Rooter's been so successful and why they've been able to serve Jacksonville and the surrounding area since 1978. They're the people I call on at my house. I trust them. Always efficient, always come when they tell you they're going to be there, always get the job done right the first time. MetroRooter.com, of course, the easy website to remember, or call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor here of Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. You look very pensive over there. You just relax?
I'm a pensive guy.
Are you?
I'm deep in thought.
Are you? Well, we heard we got a vote for the Ozone Video mailbag being what people are most excited about for the upcoming season, other than Blake.
Yeah, that's a small, twisted minority there.
Yes. We also had one pander with the Jaguars Today answer, which I replied, ha. And he said, can I get a T-shirt for making you laugh?
We bore people year-round, not just during the season.
Right. So, I guess that maybe in the fall you do a particularly good job.
We do.
Absolutely.
Goodness gracious.
We got phone calls, John. So let's talk to the fans of the Jacksonville Jaguars out there. We'll start with Jim up next at 641-1010. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Real quick, Johnny, were you here for Fred's rookie year?
I was, yes.
I couldn't remember that when you became a trader and ran to Indy, whether it was before then or not, but just very quickly, what's that?
He said money talks.
Yeah, well, that's true. Anyway, real quick, I was a little disappointed that Yeldon's line was 8-for-10, but then I remembered back when Fred got here that everybody thought during the preseason that he was going to be a bust too, and then James Stewart gets hurt in the Baltimore game, and Fred's first run is like a 65-yard touchdown run, so all of a sudden made you forget about the preseason. So I'm hoping that Yeldon's that. But
we had people at the newspaper who wanted us to write, and I say us, meaning me and Pete Prisco, who were on the beat at the time. Pete was doing the beat. We had people the week of the Baltimore game wanting us to write Fred Taylor's a bust.
After one game, right? Because was that week two or week three?
It
was early.
Now, Fred hadn't played particularly well during the preseason. He'd probably be the first one to tell you that. We resisted the bust story.
Wow. That's probably a good call on your
part.
Well,
I mean, things like that get written all the time. But
yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
One other thing, though, is that I do think it's amazing. I've watched a lot of preseason football, obviously, like we all have. But the one favorite line, the common line I hear from everything, you could field like three teams with all the people that they have said, every announcer of these home teams going, this guy's going to be on a roster somewhere. So you figure the next cuts with 20 people, you got probably five players for every team that's going to be on a roster somewhere. You could field some pretty good teams, it sounds like. You guys have a good one.
All right. No, you'd field really bad teams, but they'd
well,
be –
And a lot of times those
players.
Guys will be on a roster. One thing to bear in mind, and it's always fun to pick the 53. And remember that what a lot of these guys are playing for now is October and November. You want tape on there because a lot of these guys will be on a roster when you have 15, 16 guys on injured reserve on everywhere on the team. That's 15 or 16 4 or 5 week jobs these guys are fighting for at some
right.
point during the regular season. So that's where a lot of these guys that you see will wind up on a roster and maybe even starting somewhere because the attrition in this league is so great. So a lot of these guys eventually will have jobs, but they'll be on the street for a little while at the beginning of the season.
You hope the Jags won't have to feel the need to pick up too many guys. You feel like, you know what I mean? Because the talent base is rising. You're always on
over
the lookout.
Over this coming weekend.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Right, after the final round of cuts.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of it.
Right.
I mean, you might see linebacker, defensive back who can really run, who's been released by somebody. I don't see elsewhere around the roster a whole lot of places where I would expect that to happen.
All right, let's get back to the phones and go to DJ next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, DJ.
Good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
We're good. What's up?
Stay on this theme with running back. I've been looking at another team's running back as a fantasy interest, and that's the Cowboys. And it's kind of similar, but it's not. They say they're doing a committee, but they haven't named a starter, and they have veteran running back. My thing is with T.J. Yeldon and Denard Robinson, I understand they won't yell in the carry, but do you see a potential, at least week one, week two, where the blitz, because I think Miami and all those, they have real heavy blitz packages. We haven't seen him, you know, in that case. We have seen Denard a little bit. So in that regard, as far as protection, who gets the up on that, do you think, as of right now?
Well, right now you would just presume Denard because he's done it a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeldon's been okay in protection. That's not really Denard's strength. It's something he had to work on last year. I'm not saying he's terrible at it, but it was something that he had to adjust to because he'd never done it in his life.
Point being, though,
I don't think that's necessarily a reason to play Denard over Yeldon.
If they put either one of them out there and they get Blake hit a couple times on the first series, then you're going to change to the other guy, right? I mean, it's not like they go in and saying, well, this is the plan. We're going to use Yeldon today, and Yeldon can't pick up the blitz. He's dropping the ball. He's fumbling the ball, whatever. No, they make an adjustment, but look.
That was a question on Yeldon, but he hasn't done poorly in that.
He's a bigger, more physical guy than Denard Robinson. He's got the tools to be effective in that area. You know, look, if you think he's totally incompetent, that's one thing, but
yeah,
I don't think they
the
feel like that he's going to get Blake killed at this point in time. And that's one thing, too, John, that Blake has done such a good job at, I think, in the preseason. It's really helping his offensive line out and, therefore, his mm-hmm. backs as well. You don't see many blitzes, but just picking guys up, he has really had a great sense of the pocket and a great feel. And, you know, the line, I know Dave Caldwell talking to him yesterday, was pretty happy about the fact that against first-team defenses, they've only given up one sack in three games.
Well, he has to be happy, relieved, whatever emotion you can have on that. Your question today is, what are you most excited about? Except for Blake Bortles, which is the obvious. The offensive line, to me, I did not expect to watch the offensive line this preseason. And there's that moment last year, everybody watching this team realized Blake would go back to pass, and there would be the 1 second, a half a second, and then you would sort of start to instinctively look and see if anybody was breaking through because it had happened too often. Well, this year during preseason, that hasn't happened a whole lot. And I know that in the regular season, things will change. He's going to get hit. But for the most part, this looks like a vastly improved bunch. If you combine those two things, Blake and the offensive line, it's just looked so much different than it did at times last year. Whatever the reason for the sacks were last year, they haven't been happening. if that's real, if that translates over the regular season, all of a sudden you can function offensively and you're not going to have this feeling that if the Jaguars are down by 10, the game's over.
Right.
Which is what had happened too often in the past. Well, then all of a sudden you can compete. Then all of a sudden the defense isn't playing on such a fine edge, which they have been the last couple of years. There's been a feeling every time the defense is on the field, if they give up a touchdown, this game's over. Well, I think the defense would enjoy not playing with that sort of pressure every series.
Yeah, well, and that's probably a good thing based on what we've seen so far.
Well, but that can help. I mean, yeah, the defense hasn't been this preseason what it was the last couple of seasons. So, I mean, especially last season so far. But it shouldn't have to be always.
It shouldn't have to be
every game.
But there's no rule that says it can't be, right? That you can't have that playing, all units playing at a high level.
Right.
I mean, that's the goal. It's not just, hey, let's have an offense that can carry us.
Right.
The model isn't, let's have a quarterback so good that he can make up for all our mistakes. The model's like, hey, let's have a really good quarterback and let's not make a bunch of mistakes and
right.
then let's have a championship caliber franchise,
right.
you know? So
no question. And that's, my point is, if the defense gives up one touchdown this year, it should. It's no longer where it's an uphill battle the rest of the way just because of one mistake.
Totally understood.
And that's been the case too often.
And right, because then you reached a point in a game when you felt like you couldn't come back. Here, it's not ideal to be down by 14
sure.
points, but you do feel right now, anyway, and maybe we'll be disabused of this notion early in the season, but I think the offense is going to be better based on what we've seen. The offensive line's a big part of that. You know, and just the maturation of some of these young guys, and eventually they will get Julius Thomas integrated
yep.
in and have a pretty effective tight end core from top to bottom, we hope. So.
And I know people are tired of hearing about it because he's been out in the albino tiger thing this week. If Marquise Lee can get on the field, it adds a completely different element this offense doesn't have yet.
Johnny, have a safe trip to the nation's capital. Do you have a hot spot that you like to take in the evening?
I haven't been to downtown D.C.
Where do you guys stay? You stay in D.C.?
I think we're staying in D.C. this time.
Are you?
And I want to say I haven't stayed in downtown D.C. since I was with the paper when the Jags went up in like 97. So it's been a long time.
All right.
Just hasn't happened to work out that way.
All right. We will follow your exploits, I'm sure, on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
At John Osher.
And they will be exploits.
And, of course,
this
at Jaguars.com.
This 49-year-old guy has a lot of exploits on the road.
You guys are going to have to really squeeze in .com Live pretty quick today after I get off, huh?
Yeah, it's been on hiatus.
Not happening. Not happening today.
So far.
Safe travels to you, man. Thanks
All
for
right,
popping
thank
in.
You.
There he goes, John Osher, senior writer from Jaguars.com here with us on Jaguars Today. Coming up, we've got this date in football. We've got the drive around the NFL. Get you caught up on other news from around the National Football League. Plus, you'll hear from Josh Scobie coming up, his conversation, or at least part of it, this morning with Dan and Jeff live on 1010XL, 92.5 FM, reflecting on his time here in Jacksonville and his new locale up in Pittsburgh and what the fans and the organization has meant to him and done for him in his career. Also, we'll hear from Shad Khan, some of his new ideas and just kind of state of the franchise stuff coming up as well. We'll take more of your calls if you're still inclined at 641-1010, and we'll get to some of your texts as well on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at the same number. With Tyler Devitt, I'm Mike Dempsey. We're live at EverBank. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. It was on this date way back in 1966. Joe Auer, I'm going to say that's how you pronounce his name, A-U-E-R, returned the opening kickoff 95 yards for a Miami touchdown. In the Dolphins' first ever regular season game, Oakland went on to win 23-14 in that game held in the Orange Bowl. Rousing crowd, 26,776. About what you get for a Dolphins playoff game when they occasionally make the playoffs once every 10 years in modern day as well. So they've got that to look forward to. Terry Bradshaw, born on this date in 1948. Bradshaw only made three Pro Bowls and was a one-time first-team All-Pro. Different era, but Bradshaw only a couple of seasons with 3,000 yards passing, was a Hall of Famer in 1989, obviously on the strength of those four Super Bowl rings. 1960, Eric Dickerson born. on this date. Another Hall of Famer. He went in 10 years after Terry Bradshaw in 1999, played with the Rams, played with the Colts, ran for 2,105 yards in 1984, 55 years old, six-time Pro Bowler, and a five-time first-team All-Pro, Eric Dickerson. Tommy Maddox, maybe most famous for being the XFL's only MVP the 1 year they were in existence. And Dan Connolly, 1 year with the Jags and then a long tenure with the New England Patriots followed for Dan Connolly. He was born in 1982 on this date, 33 years old today. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCullough's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Check out the custom-fit SomnaMed Snore Guard, or perhaps you're interested in Invisalign. Dr. McCall is a certified provider of that. He's got a lot of specialties there. Call 620-9225 or log on to jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, Mike, former NFL and college star running back Lawrence Phillips has been charged with murder in the death of his cellmate at a California prison. A sad connection to the Jaguars here in Jacksonville as he murdered the cousin of former Jaguars first-round pick R.J. Soward. Damian Soward was 37 years old. Phillips, by the way, is serving a sentence of more than 31 years. He was convicted of choking his girlfriend and later driving a car into three teens after a pickup football game. Tim Graham of the Buffalo News tweeted this yesterday. The Bills organization will remain unified when speaking publicly, but two sources tell me, again, this is coming from Tim Graham, two sources tell me Doug Whaley, the GM, went rogue in cutting Fred Jackson. Well, Jackson weighed in and on a comment that yesterday. He said, there's only one person in the organization that I have not gotten honesty from, and that was him. Well, the Bills cut Fred Jackson. And now reports out of Buffalo say LeSean McCoy may not be ready for their week one matchup against the Colts. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. And the final story here in the drive around the NFL here, Mike, Texas owner Bob McNair weighs in on the Deflategate saga and said this yesterday, quote, if it was J.J. Watt, I think he would have been cooperative and it would not have been a question. I don't think J.J. would destroy his cell phone.
Yeah, because all those defensive linemen are always worried about the inflation level of footballs to begin with, Bob. That's a pretty safe assumption that J.J. won't be in that unique position that Tom Brady's in. The Lawrence Phillips thing, look, the wheels of justice grind slowly, right? This story first happened months and months ago. Was it April? Okay, he was being investigated for it. Let me guess, Tyler, we're locked in a cell together, right? One of us wakes up the next day, the other one doesn't. Who's the prime suspect?
Oh, I swear, he's innocent.
The guy who got up, okay? The guy whose eyes opened the next day, who else could it have been? I've seen plenty of movies. You know, it could have been something untoward happening in the middle of the night. I don't know. But it seems pretty safe to say probably most killings done in a cell, in a two-man cell, are done cellmate-to-cellmate crime. Lawrence Phillips, it's not funny, but it's just comical in how absurd his life is, and he is the only reason he's in the news anymore is to remember just how bad of a guy Lawrence Phillips really is. So there you have it. All right, we're gonna hear from Josh Scobie coming up, and as well as Shad Khan coming up. We haven't really talked about what we're gonna do with our fantasy leagues this year for Jaguars Today, and we're gonna hold a couple of drafts next Monday and Tuesday. I got a lot of questions about it on Twitter. We did two leagues last year. I gotta even go back and look and dig up who the defending champs are in those leagues. Wasn't me, Tyler. So whoever the champs are, you'll get an invite back. But we're going to have a draft on Monday. We're going to have a draft on Tuesday. We hosted them on ESPN.com last year, and we'll probably do the same because it's simple. It's free. It's no big deal. No major prizes other than bragging rights. But if you'd like to compete head-to-head with myself, with Tony, with Tyler, and maybe a select one or two others from the 1010XL family. Oh, Lauren says she'll slum with us for one of the leagues, so she's going to come back. Donna Murphy gave me a polite no thank you, as she said she thought, much like last year, she'll start forgetting to turn in her lineup around week two. So Murphy was what they, her nickname last year was bye week, basically. So although I think she beat somebody, and I can't remember who it was, one of the 1010 folks, probably Josh Carney, because he was absolutely brutal last year in that. I hope you're listening out there on the West Coast, Carney, or at least on the replay. But if you want in, I suppose as easy a thing to do as anything else is just email me, Mike D at 1010XL.com. Please do not message me. Please do not tweet me on this issue. Let's keep everything separate. If you want in one of the leagues, they're going to draft either Monday or Tuesday. Next week, probably 8:30 is what we're shooting for the drafts online. You do it on your computer. Do it at your house. Do it wherever you want to be. We're not all getting together for this. Send me an email, 50 words or less. I'll count them. And tell me in 50 words or less why you deserve a spot in one of the leagues. I'll tell you this right now, Tyler, this, you're afraid. Pick me if you're not afraid. Whatever. I mean, that I will laugh at that and delete your email. I mean, really, if you think that's what's going to get you in, good luck. You're wasting your typing on that. But tell us in 50 words or less why you deserve a spot in one of the leagues. Really not going to be all that many. Tony and I are playing in both leagues. Tyler's going to play in one. Lauren's going to play in one. It's going to take up a number of the spots right there. Defending champs coming back. We may only have about 15 spots between the two leagues available. And when you tell me at Mike D at 1010XL.com why you deserve a spot in one of the leagues, indicate if you have a preference, Monday, Tuesday, or no preference on which day you draft that. And the more flexibility you have, the better chance. If I, for instance, fill up the Monday league, and that's your preference, I'm going to skip by and go to somebody who says they have no preference or Tuesday is a better day for them because I can't have any no-shows.
Mike, speaking of fantasy, you also have your FanDuel League set up and ready to go, right?
Why, Tyler, that's a wonderful segue into explaining the FanDuel League that we have set up and ready to go right now. Yes, we do. And we'll do that. We're going to do that weekly throughout the season. We're going to go head-to-head every week with as many people, well, up to 250 people. It's capped. But it is, I'll tell you this, out of all the FanDuel leagues you're going to hear about on this station, it's the largest one out of all of them, which means the payouts are the largest out of all of them. So if you're signing up for one, FanDuel.com/Mike, and we can cap it at 250 people. It's already filling up. I believe we've got around 40 in it already, and we're still a week and a half away from the start of the season. All these contests on FanDuel.com, if you haven't signed up before, very easy to do. You can put money in for PayPal, however, and many different ways to do it. You play for real cash, you win real cash prizes, right? Our contest is going to be $5 a week. Winner's going to take home about $200 if we fill the league up every week. But there's going to be pretty basically about 50% of the money goes in gets paid out in prizes. I don't get anything unless I perform well. So you go head-to-head with me, Tony, Tyler. Every week we'll be playing here. Go to FanDuel.com/Mike. And you can sign up already and pick your team. It's a different deal. Everybody can have the same players, theoretically, because it's a salary cap. You go in there, you fill out your lineup based on a $60,000 salary cap. They set the pricing on there for you. It's pretty easy to follow along. FanDuel.com/Mike takes you directly to that league. So if you don't get in one of the leagues, or even if you do next Monday and Tuesday, play weekly with us throughout the season. Play, you know, once a month. Play as frequently as you like or as infrequently as you like. But remember, when you make that first deposit, use promo code Mike, and they will double your initial deposit up to $200. So you deposit $200, you're going to get another $200 that as you play, they'll release some of that money. Each time you play, you get more in your account from that matching fund pool. So check it out, FanDuel.com/Mike. Thank you for reminding me of that. We will do that weekly. I will remind you of that as the season approaches. And all those games, we just do Sunday games in those leagues. The Monday and Tuesday are going to be your traditional 12-team leagues, play out the season, whole nine yards. Right now, we're probably leaning towards no-trade leagues just because we play in so many of them. I don't want to have to deal as a commissioner. I don't have to deal with, this is unfair, that's collusion, this guy's cheating. It's just simpler that way, so know that going in. And email me at MikeD@1010XL.com and tell me why you deserve one of those spots. And put it this way, we can at least dig you up a Jaguars Today t-shirt if you win the league, right? That seems like a suitable enticement, Tyler, I would think. So send those emails along. Coming up next, we'll hear from Shad Khan and Josh Scobie. Jaguars Today rolls on a Metro Rooter Wednesday, live at Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Shad, how'd the boat work out in year one?
Boat? Was fabulous. Yeah, it's been so good that I'm kind of missing it. It's not here. Okay, so it'll be here. I'm hoping first week of October. First week of October, and you know, we'll maybe next time we have the pleasure of seeing all of you guys and ladies. We'll probably do it on the boat. Okay. So everybody in their bathing suit. Okay.
Not everybody. All right, please. Do we need to list who can show up in their bathing suit and who cannot? I'm certainly in the not column.
Ryan O'Halloran
about that. And look, it's up to him. And I don't, like, I'm not going to list. But I would suggest If he does, I go with one of those turn of the 20th century tank top jobs, right? The big stripers with the no sleeves.
The one piece.
Yeah. The one piece. Yeah, that's what I would go with. That's what I should go with, you know. But you don't see me out at the beach too much, regardless, either way. Although I did, I decided I'm a disgusting individual, Tyler, for many reasons. But just right now, particularly physically disgusting and unappealing to the eye.
Oh, you just came up with that. Okay.
No, well, no. I mean, I've known I was trending. What's trending? Mike, disgusting. Yes. High correlation between those two words. But no, so I've decided to try to do the impossible, which is shed some pounds during football season. Very difficult to do. Not a whole lot of time to exercise.
Is that possible during football season?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Sounds
we're
like
gonna
an oxymoron.
I am a disgusting freak of a man, all right? I really am. And I was probably in truly the best shape of my entire life, with the possible exception of one period in college when I was on the crew team. But about 3 years ago, I was in phenomenal shape, working out all the time, stronger than I ever was, and just kind of let it slide, man. I like to eat too much. I just don't have the willpower. It takes a significant act of will on my part to get restarted, and I'm going to try to make that happen. And just the fact that I'm putting it in those terms, I'm going to try, doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence, because usually I'm like, all right, that's it, I'm doing it, this is it. And I just have to have all the bad stuff out of the house. Can't have it in there. I don't have the willpower to not eat the good stuff if it's in front of me, so my wife and child can suffer with me and eat a bunch of nutritious stuff that doesn't necessarily taste good for the next, 4 months or so. That sounds reasonable and doable. Sure it does. All right, let's hear from Shad Khan and Josh Scobie. And what are we going to start with here? Scobie, I believe, right? This morning he was on with Jeff Prosser and Dan Hicken and weighing in on a number of things, obviously, in the wake of being traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he gave his thoughts on the trade itself and the Jaguars as an organization.
It was kind of crazy the way it all unfolded. I mean, you can't be naive and think that your position's never going to change. You're going to stay somewhere your entire career. But, I was optimistic about it. But, I've seen a lot of things happen. A lot of people get treated poorly and, whether it was a release or a trade or whatever. But that wasn't the case with mine. I mean, Jaguars handled it as well as they could have. So that's, the reason why, one of the reasons why I'm not going to have any ill feelings towards anyone in the Jaguars organization, because they're good people and they treated me great while I was there. So the last 2-3 days have been pretty crazy, and now that I'm here in Pittsburgh, it's just a new chapter in my football career. It won't change too many things other than where I play football and what uniform I'm wearing. But I'm looking forward to it, because this team that talks about, winning a Super Bowl this year, and that's some cool things to hear.
Man, that's great. And look, every organization wants to talk about winning Super Bowls. I don't even know, knowing Gus Bradley and his methodology, we were talking about it yesterday with Jeff Logman, kind of the Zen approach he likes to put on it. Even then, if the Jags get to the point where they're a contender, will they talk in those terms? Because he talks so much about doing the things that lead to victory rather than focusing on victory themselves. But I understand what he's talking about. I mean, it's a franchise that, pretty consistently is a contender for the playoffs, if not in the playoffs. And they've got a pretty potent offense despite the suspensions to Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant. Apparently the weed is pretty good up in Pennsylvania. It's hard to lay off. Marquise Pouncey out for about half the season as well. So they've got some issues, but they definitely have Ben Roethlisberger, probably at the height of his career right now, and led the league in passing last year along with Drew Brees, tied for the league lead, nearly 5,000 yards. Obviously, Antonio Brown, one of the best in the game, and Marcus Wheaton in addition to Martavis Bryant. And so they feel like they've got some playmakers there. We'll see what they are on the defensive side of the football. But tough place to kick as well, Heinz Field. Scobie talked about as well the reaction, fan outpouring was overwhelming, I would imagine, for Josh when the news got announced on Monday, or when it started to come out, and he really announced it as he came on or talked to Jeff Prosser. Jeff came on with us on Jaguars Today to confirm from Scobie directly, and this is Scobie earlier today on 1010XL talking about the reaction fans had after the news of the trade came out.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, the outpouring of support that I've gotten on Twitter, Facebook, text messages, phone calls. I mean, it's unbelievable how many times I've had to charge my phone already the last few days. I mean, it really just goes to show you how great the fans were in or are in Jacksonville. They get a bad reputation for not showing up to the games, not having a good fan base, but it's the exact opposite. And I mean, for the time I was there, they treated me and my family with nothing but just respect and love. And you know, whenever I'm done playing football, that's where we're going to live. So I'll be looking forward to hanging out with the fans and tailgating and doing stuff like that. Hopefully, in years, many years to come. But you know, I can only thank them for how kind all the messages I got I was sent.
That Scobie just kind of reminds us, right? Nobody would willfully live in Pittsburgh by choice, right? I mean, it's, you can't really help it if you get traded there. You got to play there during the season. But, I mean, really, who would live in Pittsburgh by choice, right? All right, Scobie then wrapped up with the drill this morning with Jeff and Dan, was asked how the trade went down, how he found out about everything, the process behind it, and taking us behind the scenes a little bit.
It was my agent that called me first to make me aware of the situation. And you know, we had a couple options there. And So I took the best option for me, and that was a straight up trade for 1 year here. I had other options, and but this one was, I think, the best one for me, and to where I'll be a free agent next year, and then I can pick from a lot of different teams that I could possibly go to. So the prospect of coming here, regardless of the weather change or the field conditions or whatever, I was looking forward to it because of the caliber of this team and the right. possibility of doing great things this season. And to tell you the truth, I was wanting to challenge myself. I mean, I've been in Florida my whole career, kicking in nice weather. I really wanted to see what I could do up here for a full season and really push myself.
All right. Well, that's fine. You'll find out. I don't know if that was a goal that Josh set out, said, hey, you know, I mean, kicking in Jacksonville, let me find a harder climate to kick in. I think that's a good mental approach to have to it. Hey, look at it as a challenge. I don't know if he set out to find a difficult place to kick and see if he could handle it. But it's interesting he said he had options. It makes it sound like the Jags said, look, we can trade you to Pittsburgh, and which would be good for the team, obviously. We get a draft pick in return. Or we can release you. And the thing is, Josh is smart, right? I'm assuming Pittsburgh would have had interest in Josh. Would they have paid the salary due him? Would he have gotten that same amount on the market, or would he have to take maybe $1 million less or even more had he been on the open market? I mean, kickers don't get paid a ton relative to other positions. So he probably thought, hey, you know what? I know my landing spot. I know it's an explosive offense, which means I'm going to have plenty of opportunities to kick the football, and I know I'm going to get my salary. They're not giving up a six-round pick and cutting me. So I'm going to get my salary, finish out the contract that I signed, and then hit free agency next year. If the Steelers want a franchise, I'm not sure he'd take that money as well. Don't think it's crazy. The Patriots have franchised Steven Gostkowski in the past, so it can happen if you don't have anybody else that is worthy of the franchise tag at their position. So anyway, it's good to hear from Josh this morning as he joined the drill live from Pittsburgh, as Jeff Prosser had been on top of that story for the last couple of days, talking to Scobie to confirm the trade on Monday. Let's get to Shad Khan now. Yesterday, meeting with the welcome to football kickoff luncheon, meeting with the media afterwards, and starting off with some comments about London and how he'd like to see that continue and be a long-term commitment.
Yeah, I think, you know, we would like it to be long-term, like 2030. So it's been probably the number one element in stabilizing, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hard to believe it's over, I think, the four-year deal now. But I think it's a critical part of our franchise to be able to play games there, get the recognition, build a fan base, and get sponsors.
Yeah, look, they've been pretty clear about that, right? And they've been clear about the economic benefit to the bottom line as well, that playing one game in London basically gives you the revenue of two games here in Jacksonville. And that is important right now, and you hope that you reach a point where the clamoring is about, man, we have, there's not a standing room only seat to be had, and we're losing a game to London every year. We demand more football in Jacksonville. You love for it to be that level of beating them away at the turnstiles. Every NFL team, with few exceptions, would love and could stand a little bit more interest as far as that goes. Certainly there are exceptions to that, but Jags are in better shape now, certainly, than when Shad Khan took them over. And as he has been saying, actions are going to speak louder than words, but the London commitment doesn't scare me an iota. The way they've laid it out, I haven't seen any indication they want to expand it beyond that one game. He wants to keep it at Wembley, not really interested in playing in any other cities. He said yesterday, let's hear more from Shad Khan. And I hesitate to even play this, but, you know, I don't know why we give these guys any attention. You didn't hear me bring this story up yesterday. Some Yahoo out in San Diego writes some crackpot story about how the Jags will fill the void when the Chargers leave for L.A. because the Cuban population in Orlando is not happy that they have to watch Jacksonville games instead of Miami Dolphin games. And for some reason, that gets attention. I don't know why, but it does. And the only reason I bring it up is because it was posed to the owner of the football team. How do you feel when you see stories like this? How do you react when you see a story like this from NBC San Diego's Derek Togerson yesterday, of all people, the always quotable Derek Togerson? Here's how Shad Khan replied.
You know, I'm not going to be addressing every rumor. You guys know, you know, more than I would. But I think, you know, what I want to be addressing is something I said here a little over 3 years ago, that, you know, we're going to be doing everything to help stabilize the franchise. And over the last 3.5 years, we've done that. It is a public-private partnership. I think I talked about London really even before I was approved. So that's worked out to be everything we hope for and more. And, you know, that's our vision moving forward.
Yeah, and when they put in a practice facility, you know, what are they? They're just going to look right past that one, too. And you hear Shad laugh at the beginning. He's probably pissed, to be honest with you. Really? I got to answer this again? Again? About the moving? I mean, enough already. What more do I have to do? What more can I do to pour into this franchise that we can and have positive momentum other than win games on the field? Yes, but it's not like for lack of trying. All right, they're spending money. They're going out there. They feel like they have their franchise quarterback. Let's see the results this year on the field. But everything else off the field, as Dan Hicken said, I forget the exact way he phrased it. He said off the field, this guy's an amazing owner for what he's done for this fan base, for the team, for the players here, with the amenities that they have and making this an attractive destination in free agency. He was asked specifically about a target date for completion of a practice facility. Here was his answer.
That's exactly what we're shooting for. I think this year we've been impacted, obviously, by the weather, and so I'd like very much for it to be done by next year.
By next year. Count on it being done by next year, right? I mean, Shad comes up with these things. He shows you a video presentation, and he says, look, we're going to not only put in new scoreboards, they're going to be the biggest in the entire world. That's what we'd like to do. Boom, they're there, right? I mean, everything, if he says it, you can pretty much count on that happening. Premium seating options, boom, they're done. More and more. And they sell out, and they're very popular. So he says by next year, that's the goal. You going to bet against him? I'm going to say there will be a new indoor practice facility by next year. And then what are they going to say out in San Diego?
Well, Mike, there's actually a new report from our friend Jason Cole of Bleacher Report that's coming down in the last hour or so. He says the top St. Louis solution for now would be moving the Jaguars to St. Louis.
Well, I'm sure it would be. The top St. Louis solution for now would be to come poach our franchise. Good luck with that. I mean, what indicates to them that that has any basis in reality? Sure, that would be the ideal solution for them. The Rams don't want to be here. See you later. Who else is moving? There are really no other candidates once these teams jockeying for L.A. settle into their positions, unless you're going to go after one of these other teams. You know, if you move to L.A. and the Raiders move to L.A., do you try to go after the Chargers? Well, maybe. I mean, that seems reasonable. Let that be their top solution. I could care less what people in St. Louis want. I don't care. I do not care. You can't have the football team. Sean Conn's not going to give you the football team. He's not going to move the football team. Just stop it with this nonsense. Just stop it. But I guess he's building a $30 million indoor practice facility just to make that transition to the Gateway Arch that much smoother. I mean, come on, people. At what point does logic hit somebody over the head and say, wait a minute, maybe he's been telling the truth all this time? All right, what else? Shad Khan says there's more to what the facility is going to be than just the practice field, practice facility. Here's what he had to say.
You know, unveil it. I think when we, you know, unveil it, there's more to it than, you know, just the practice facility. I think there'll be other components to it. They'll make this more of a destination. Our goal is the home games we have, 7 plus 2, I mean, we want them to be like a weekend where we can regionally attract people who are going to come to the city. So there would be, you know, other events. How do we do them and really raise the bar where it'd be a destination?
Yeah, and then finally, the follow-up to that, why the practice facility now when the Shipyards project is still percolating? What do you
say? Well, because I'm not sure when Shipyards will be done. It's not a timetable we control, and just like we don't control the weather. To me, what's really important is we focus on things we do control. The Amendment 13 that was done to the lease, you know, gives us certain rights and privileges with the city where we can. So, you know, we're going to use that along with, you know, city really working with the city to do a development on the south side of the stadium. And then whenever the Shipyard is done or downtown Jacksonville, there's an opportunity. I mean, you know, we want to participate to help the city. Somebody else wants to do it. That's great, too.
Yeah, hey, we'll take more hands on deck, he's saying, but he's like, hey, you know what? If I could push through the Shipyard facility and get the go-ahead tomorrow, we'd probably be heading in that direction. But in the meantime, are we going to wait? No, we're not going to wait. I'm Shad Khan, for goodness sakes. I don't wait. The only thing I wait for is for my yacht to show up again. Might not be till October. I don't know where it is right now. Does he actually ever, like, steer the yacht, by the way? Do you ever think he goes down there to the helm and spins the wheel? Does the yacht go anywhere when he's on it? Oh, he's kind of docked, and it's just kind of the party yacht. Or does he take it up and down the Mediterranean? I really haven't followed his yachting exploits to that degree to come up with a conclusion on that. But I'd like to see Shad. Wouldn't you like to see Shad spinning? It's probably a solid gold wheel at the helm. You know, wouldn't you think something like that, Tyler? I think that would be
outstanding. I'm sure it's on autopilot all the time.
I mean, honestly, can we get a new Dos Equis guy? Is the most interesting man in the world not the guy who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars? Really? Doesn't he have the life we all wish we had?
How about Jaguars Today remote broadcast from Shad Khan's yacht?
I'll do it, man. Let's do it. I'll do it. He doesn't even have to tell me where we're disembarking for. I will, or embarking for, I will bring my passport, and we'll be good to go. You know? I don't know what kind of range we have on our equipment, but I guess we'll figure it out. We got to take a quick time out. We'll come back. Fan feedback spotlight today asking you, other than Blake Bortles, what are you most excited about for the Jaguars 2015 season? Maybe it's having the most interesting man in the world own your football team. That could be one thing. But share your thoughts with us. We'll get to some of the feedback coming up next on Twitter and Facebook. Mike Dempsey, Tyler Devitt here with you. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today continues in a moment from 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Duval.
The next one we have is Eric with a K wants to know, what's the funniest rookie initiation you may or may not have witnessed?
So we had this rookie last year by the name of Chris Smith, right? He was just so like he wouldn't cooperate with us at all. When we tried to get him food for the plane, he would mess up on the orders. And so we, you know, at the end of the year, what we decided to do is tape him to the goalpost. So we taped him to the goalpost and poured like water and Gatorade all over him just because he was one of those rookies that you just had to talk to more than once. And then he got an attitude when we, you know, cause he did it wrong. Like he did stuff wrong. Like, no. So that's probably the most funniest thing, the most interesting thing we did.
Ryan Davis on Helmets and Heels last night. New program, Tyler, is that new? I haven't heard much promotion for Helmets and Heels.
I never heard of it.
Been around for a while? I don't know.
Is that the one Lauren's on?
Our brand new program, Helmets and Heels, had Ryan Davis on last night. And he was asked, obviously, what's the most interesting rookie initiation you've seen. I've seen several guys over the years taped to the goalpost. You don't see too much hazing going on. I occasionally still see the crazy haircuts and stuff. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me, you know. Hazing to a limit. I mean, if it's good-natured, hey, you're going to get your head shaved or cut in some ridiculous design, I think that's funny. And I do think that falls under team bonding. I think some of that stuff can go too far, but taping to the goalpost and pouring Gatorade on him, apparently I don't think that is too far. I find that amusing. And it's not the Gatorade going on. It's the you know, soaking it all in while you're out there in the sun. If they leave you out there for about 30 minutes, you get that stuff nice and crusty on you, and then it's getting the tape off, I would think, would be the hard part with that. But, hey, Rook, don't come in here complaining about having to make the fast food run, right, and that you screwed up the order. It's I'm sure they always, you know, they always screw you at the drive-thru. What did Joe Pesci say once about what they do to you at the drive-thru? Somebody will text me that. I can't quite recall. Actually, I can. I can't say it. All right. Today, we asked you, other than Blake Bortles, what are you most excited about for the Jags in 2015? Let's see how many of these I can get to. Irish Jaguar on Twitter said, my motto this summer has been, I will not get excited, but Blake's making this really hard, so I would say no one. Okay, that's his approach. Mike Tashone said, Telvin Smith. Hashtag Jaguars today. Allison said, stadium beer. Nah, just kidding. Most excited about Boselli defending Jokel for another year. All right, there you go. I'm sure it'll happen. The fact that the Jags could win a few games this year, Yeldon, and the travel from Jacksonville to Jacksonville from North Dakota for a couple of games, said Adam Brandvold. Nice job. That's quite a road trip right there. From at Bortles Facts, more touchdowns. Blake Bortles and Brett Favre have combined for 519 touchdowns through the air. Yes, they have. That is a Blake Bortles fact right there. Eric Harris said, I've liked the O-line play, the wide receiver play for the most part. That has me excited for the season. Daniel Stewart said, alu alu blocking for Gerhardt for third down conversions and touchdowns. It's going to be a violent exchange at the line of scrimmage when that package is on the field. John Michael Begay went with Bortles' extreme and extensive knowledge, I should say, of butts on centers. He has commented on that in the past. Clarence Austin said the secondary. Sizes. Yes, the secondary has me excited, but they'll be okay. The O-line has me excited, way better than last year. Come on, Luke. I would think right now the O-line has given you more reason to be excited in a positive way for the season. But again, preseason, we're not going to write the story, at least begin to write the story for real until about 10 days from now. From Matt Miller, Shad Khan has me most excited because you have no idea what's going to come up, what he's going to come up with next. Need a practice facility? Boom! There it is. Trust me, a year from now, that's what we'll be talking about. Wow, that went up quick. Well, Shad said that's our goal a year from now. The Ozone Video Mailbag, Dusty Duval, King Dusty 1, pandering there. We had somebody pandering and saying Jaguars today is what they're most excited about. A lot of TJ Yeldon votes as well. And on it went. They're, put it this way, more feedback today than we get for a typical one of these questions, which is a good indicator that the Jag fan base is engaged. Now, pay it off this year, right? Give them reason. Give them something to get excited about early in the season. I had the caller earlier saying we played so many close games last few years, and not in the first half of seasons for all that much. And a lot of games, you've been out of it by the fourth quarter. Come on out, turn that around against the Carolina Panthers, and then let's talk about going for 2-0 when we get to the Dolphins. You know, just get out of tomorrow without any major injuries whatsoever. So the way to do that, don't play any major players. I don't want any of the backups to suffer major injuries, but you got to play somebody in these games, and you're going to probably see extensive playing time in the second half, particularly from the 22 guys that will either, eight of them occupy the practice squad or be street free agents in short order, because, and for them, that's a big deal. It's either development time here in this system that they're going to continue to develop under on the practice squad, or it's an opportunity to catch the eye of another personnel evaluator around the National Football League and maybe make a roster in that direction. A couple on Facebook here, the Jaguars Today Facebook page, Adrian Jackson said, you know what? Everything has me excited about Jaguars football this year. I'm excited about the offensive line. I never thought I'd say that. I'm excited about the running game with improved Robinson and Gerhardt and TJ Yeldon. I'm excited about our young receivers. I'm excited about Mercedes Lewis having his best season in a long while. I'm excited about Julius Thomas. I'm excited about seeing our starting defensive line back in the games. I'm excited about our secondary. I'm excited about seeing what our linebackers can do, especially Telvin Smith. I'm excited about our new kicker. I'm even excited to see the new Jackson DeVille in 1 week. It's football season. Adrian Jackson is the most excitable fan out there today, and he will earn himself a Jaguars Today t-shirt for his troubles. So we're back in the habit of giving them away. Thanks to John Osier for stopping by this morning. You can check out his coverage continuing at Jaguars.com as the boys will be on the plane or on the bus headed to the airport at least about 30 minutes from now. And thanks to all of you for listening as always. Glad we could bring you some sounds from Shad Khan, from Gus Bradley, and a little bit from Josh Scobie as well. And if you missed that Josh Scobie interview, like all of our key interviews here on 1010XL, check out the 1010XL.com on-demand section. I'm sure you will find that there if you want to send another long-distance goodbye to Josh Scobie. You can hear what he had to say in its entirety as he appeared on 1010XL live this morning. Coming up next, XL Primetime. I never know what percentage of the crew we're going to have in any given day. Tyler, any early returns on who we have today on XL Primetime?
Nothing.
Do we know?
Yet.
Nothing yet. Okay, good to know. I'm sure at least one of the three, if not two or three of them, will be in position to entertain and inform for the next 3 hours for you guys right here. Jags in Washington tomorrow. Fat Tony will rejoin me here live at EverBank after his 3-day suspension. Well, he probably wishes the Braves played that badly all the time. Maybe they do. I just don't pay attention. He'd get a lot more days off that way. So Tony will be back with us tomorrow. We'll be back. It'll be game day talking about it. Hopefully David Garrard on Friday. And then once we get past these next couple of days, we're on to the real thing, game week next week. Don't forget, two fantasy drafts Monday, Tuesday. If you want in one of them to compete head-to-head with the Jaguars Today crew, we'll also be launching the FanDuel Fantasy Forecast. That's coming back next Thursday at 2 o'clock, and it'll run every Thursday from 2 to 3 throughout the football season. The way to do it is email MikeD at 1010XL.com, and in 50 words or less, tell me why you deserve a spot in the league, and if you have a preference on drafting Monday, Tuesday, or no preference, and that will all be factored into who gets invited into the few spots that we have. And if you don't get invited, or even if you do, check out FanDuel.com/Mike to play in a dedicated head-to-head league with the Jaguars Today and FanDuel Fantasy Forecast team all throughout the season. We'll play against you for real cash every week. You can win some significant money, more than any other game you're going to hear about here locally with FanDuel, because we got more people in our league. That means more cash prizes, bigger payouts for everybody. $5 to get in. It's all happening at FanDuel.com. Use promo code Mike or go directly to FanDuel.com/Mike to sign up and get into that league. So that does it for us. For Tyler Devitt, for John Osier, for Joe Fortunato, and even for Fat Tony. He'll be back with me tomorrow. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. Thanks to Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor. This has been Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
Woo! That's great job!